The WineInsiders.com presents a Cabernet tasting at Blue Rock Vineyards in the beautiful Alexander Valley of Sonoma.
Hi, I'm Hal Oates with the WineInsiders.com. Today I'd like to invite you to join us for an exclusive Cabernet tasting with Blue Rock Vineyards owner Kenny Kahn at his new boutique winery in the Alexander Valley of Sonoma, directly adjacent to famed Silver Oak Winery. We'll taste Blue Rock's new releases and learn how Kenny has managed to develop one of the most highly sought-after Cabernets in California by producing wine he loves and not worrying about any ratings from the so-called wine experts. This is Hal Oates from theWineInsiders.com. We're thrilled this afternoon to be at Blue Rock Vineyards up in Alexander Valley in Sonoma County. We're with the owner of Blue Rock, our friend Kenny Kahn. Kenny, thanks for having us today.
Thank you, Hal. Great to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about the history of Blue Rock, please?
Well, Blue Rock was originally settled by Italian immigrants who came in, around 1870 or 1880. And they were attracted here because of Italian Swiss colony. They came in with no money whatsoever. They were really poor farmers from Italy, but they brought in olive trees, they brought in grapevine cuttings, a knowledge of viticulture, a love of the land. And so they were really the original settlers here. So this property goes back to, like the house we're sitting in right now, 1880, 1890.
And what
like
was
that.
Italian Swiss colony?
Italian Swiss colony was making wine way before Prohibition.
Oh, okay.
And so the farmers would come here, grow a few grapes, sell them to Italian Swiss colony, work in the winery, and it was, you know, really much like life in Italy, except transplanted to Sonoma County.
Okay. And then fast forward to your story.
Well, my wife and I moved from Memphis, where we were from a farming family in Tennessee, and we moved in 1985 and immediately started looking for a place to buy out here. You know, we'd always had a love of wine as consumers and a love of agriculture coming from a farming family. You put the two together, make one trip to the wine country, and like we had to have a place out here. So thank God my wife had a daytime job. And so I proceeded to, you know, look at properties really all over Northern California and got a call one day from a realtor about Blue Rock. It wasn't Blue Rock at the time, but was Wernelius Vineyards. And the property was being sold. And I came out, took one look at it, fell in love with it, absolutely in love with it, because it is so beautiful, and had to have it. It's one of those things that I had to have it. And I don't even think I told my wife until after the deal was complete, and she nearly killed me. She said, "You did what? You bought a winery?" It had a little winery on the property and about 40 acres that had just been planted. And so that was the beginning of Blue Rock, and that was back in 1987 when we started.
And what attracted you to the property?
I think it's one of the most beautiful places on the planet. I loved it from the first moment that I saw it, and I still dream about it today. And it's like falling in love with anything or anyone. I felt the same way about my wife when I met her. I felt like, you know, she is the woman who I'm going to marry, and 6 months later I convinced her.
And did you have to repeat that when you told her about the vineyard so she wouldn't be grumpy with you for making the sudden purchase?
I think she's finally forgiven me,
okay.
But it took a long time. I mean, from now I include her in all of the decisions because she is my major partner.
Sounds wise.
So we bought the place in 1987. We have been working with other wineries as grape growers, so selling our grapes to other wineries. We made some homemade wine, which kind of got us started. And you know, we would get to try the wines that the other wineries were making off of our property. And I guess like a lot of vintners in California, as you get to taste the wine, you realize that it's a good property and you start to dream about doing it yourself. And so that dream has been going on since really 1987. And in 1999, we made the decision to go out on our own. We still sell grapes to other wineries, but we hired Nick Goldschmidt, who at the time was head winemaker at CIMI, who really knew the Alexander Valley grapes, phenomenal winemaker, has a style of wine that we really appreciate, you know, powerful but elegant. And we were introduced by a friend and knew immediately that Nick was the guy to make our wine. So we hired him as our consulting winemaker. 99 was our first vintage where we produced 550 cases.
So Kenny, you mentioned we're located here in the Alexander Valley. Tell us a little bit about the Alexander Valley.
Well, it's first of all, it's Sonoma. It's in Sonoma County, which is very diverse in terms of viticultural areas. Alexander Valley is a warmer area for Sonoma, north of the town of Healdsburg, and it is becoming known really as a great place to grow both Cabernet and Chardonnay, much like the Napa Valley. We picked the Alexander Valley because we had tried wines from a few producers who we thought a lot of. Jordan and were early pioneers. Of course, everybody knows Silver Oak. And when we found our property, it was located next to Silver Oak Winery in Silver Oak's home vineyard. So that gave us the inspiration. We felt like, you know, even though it wasn't, this particular area wasn't known for making great wines, that we felt like we had a little inside track back in 1987 because of the quality of the neighbors. So the Alexander Valley has historically grown grapes for the Sonoma County market. So the grapes have primarily come from heavy soils near the river where they grow good quality but high tonnage that goes into a Sonoma County blend that would sell today for $10 to $15 a bottle. And there are a lot of great producers making wine in that category. Just recently, in the last 5 or 6 years, you've had a few smaller artisan producers who have started growing and or purchasing grapes that are not on the valley floor, that are in hillside vineyards like Blue Rock, and are making some really stunning high-quality Cabernets that certainly compete with Napa or Bordeaux or any other place in the country, as well as there are some wonderful sites for Chardonnay. And of course, I'm sure some other varietals as well.
Kenny, you mentioned Silver Oak. Now, they're located nearby?
They're next door to us. They're our neighbor.
Okay, and Silver Oak, I guess, is arguably the number one collector Cabernet in America. And I know a lot of our audience are big fans of Silver Oak. How does your wine differ from Silver Oak?
Well, first of all, I have to say I love Silver Oak wines, and I have had many in my history and hope to have many more. I think they're delicious wines, and I'm proud to be next door to them. But our style is very different. First of all, we are all estate, meaning that all of our grapes come from our 46-acre vineyard. And I think that's really key to what we're trying to do, is we're trying to make a wine that expresses our unique vineyard site and soils, and also is expressive of our work. It gives us the opportunity to do the best that we can do off of one small piece of property every year. Contrasting that to Silver Oak, who is, of course, a much larger producer. From a production point of view, our production at 600 cases of Cabernet a year is probably less than 1% of Silver Oak's production. Silver Oak does have estate vineyards. One of them is next door to us. But in order to make the quantity of wines that they're making, they have to purchase grapes from other growers. And clearly, there's nothing wrong with that because they're making fabulous quality wines every year. But a difference is that we believe in doing things only from this property. We're committed to never buying grapes. I think another difference is that we're all French oak, and Silver Oak has made their reputation on American oak. And not that one is better than the other, but there's a stylistic difference there.
And what would consumers notice if you were drinking them side by side because of the oak?
Well, first of all, I would recommend that consumers try them side by side because it's really very interesting. I've done that. American oak is more forward. It's in my opinion, more obvious flavor. It has a lot of vanilla in it that people really like because I think well, we grew up on vanilla, things, soft drinks have vanilla, for example. So we have that flavor profile in our memory. French oak, in my opinion, is subtler than American oak. It does have some vanilla, but it's much more integrated and more in the background. And I think that you get overall more integration of the oak with the wine rather than more pronounced and obvious, obviously oaky overtones. So it's just a personal preference.
Great. So let's get back to Blue Rock a little bit. Tell us, how did you come up with the name Blue Rock?
Well, that was, actually, I was going to say that was easy, but it wasn't as easy as it sounds, because back in 1987, when we bought the property, we figured that, well, it has to have a name, right? So we started off with the different Clos. Clo this, Clo that, Clo Kenny. None of it really seemed to work out very well.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Being in America, you know, we may as well be what we are. And we tried various things, and you know, one day it just dawned on us that the vineyard is so unique here because it's serpentine. So you take a walk through the vineyard, and it's like Chateauneuf du Pape in blue. Serpentine rock is a blue rock, very high in magnesium. It has a real impact on the wines that we make. Our wines get a perfume, a minerality. They get really inspiration from the soil that they're growing in. And really, not many sites are truly that inspired by the growing conditions. But in this unique site, they are. So we figured, well, why not call it Blue Rock? After all, that's what it is. And
great.
So it stuck.
So your property defined your name eventually.
It defined our name. And interestingly enough is that after we made the wine and had several vintages out there, we decided one day to apply for a trademark. And lo and behold, Blue Rock was already taken by a wine in Virginia. And I contacted the Blue Rock Winery in Virginia, and they were so generous that we were able to actually work things out. We had a big party together in Washington, D.C., and we were able to work it out where we kept the name Blue Rock.
Well, cheers to our Commonwealth friends of Virginia at Blue Rock. Can you tell us a little bit about your winemaking philosophy here at Blue Rock?
Well, the wine is really made in the vineyard here. I mean, we are...
It's a little bit, your name comes from the vineyard, so you just kept with the trend.
Well, it really comes from where our interests lie. I mean, my interest is in the vineyard. I love the vineyard. And we spend our money, we spend our energy, we spend all of our resources making sure that the vineyard is given the greatest care that we can give it. And we also think that if you bring in wonderful quality grapes that are in perfect condition from a great vineyard site, that the winemaking is, not to trivialize it, is relatively easy. I think we have a fabulous winemaker in Nick Goldschmidt, but I also believe that we're making his job easier by bringing in great quality material for him to make wine from, and you know, he keeps us out of trouble. But our philosophy is really to make sure that the vineyard produces the best quality that it can every year, that it expresses itself. We have become, became organic in the mature blocks of the vineyard, and as the young vines start maturing, we'll be rolling it out to the rest of the vineyard, because we believe that organic, not only is it healthier, but because you're giving natural inputs into the soil rather than artificial inputs, is that the vineyard will express its uniqueness even more so than it has in the past.
What are the qualities that you look for in a great wine?
Well, first, I think I mentioned that I'm a consumer first and foremost. That's how I got into this this business. And I love good wine. And the things that I look for are, first of all, aromatics, is that I always smell a wine. And I have a tasting group, and I taste with a lot of people, as you can imagine, and I observe how other people taste. And I'd say about half the people out there really kind of pass on the smelling and go right into tasting the wine, but not me. I mean, for me, the aromatics are really important, and so we try to make them very important in the wine that we're producing as well. So a wine really has to have great aromatics, and by that I mean something that, you know, of course it smells good, but something that you keep going back to over and over and over again, and with every whiff you get something new and you want to keep going back to the glass because you're getting something different every time. So I guess that brings up the next thing that I look for is complexity. Yes, I like power in wines. You have to have a certain layer of power. But I think that many wines go overboard in the power department, perhaps to please critics like Robert Parker, and you know, I won't mention any other names because I don't want to get into trouble. But many times you lose finesse and complexity at the expense of power. When you're fermenting wine, you have to make the decision sometimes that you know you're gonna get one or the other, And my decision would always be to go for complexity. So I'm looking for intrigue, you know, where every time you taste the wine is that you get something different out of it. And also, when you taste it over a period of time, you know, it's a young wine is going to have more sort of brash and upfront flavors, more fruit forward. But you want something that is balanced enough so that you get, when you age a wine, what you're looking for is to get complexity over time. And only a balanced, both a powerful and balanced wine is going to give you that kind of ageability and complexity that that grows with the wine over time.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the age-worthy nature of your wine, because I know that one of the things that Silver Oak has really built their reputation on is making beautiful wines that are nice to drink now, but also mature beautifully. How do you do that? I mean, I know that you're aspiring to that, and from my own personal point of view, you're achieving that, but how do you do that?
Well, I think the first of all is done in the vineyard is that our yields are very low naturally from this particular vineyard site because the soils are very shallow. And as a result, we have a real dense vine spacing in the vineyard in order to get any kind of production. So what we're getting is a very small yield per acre naturally. It's not an artificial thing like we go out and cut off all the grapes because we've got too big of a yield. It naturally wants to produce very little. So it does give us a real intensity, but not just a sort of masculine, overpowering intensity. It gives an intensity in the mid palate. But it also gives us a balance of all of the various components. There's plenty of acid. There's plenty of fruit flavor. There is plenty of tannin. Although interestingly enough, our wine, and I think in general wines from the Alexander Valley. Have an approachability early on. So there are big tannins, but they are ripe and they're soft and they're silky. So right out of the chute, when the vintage is released, the wines are drinkable, but yet there is enough tannin in there so that the wines will age beautifully over time.